What do you believe is the single most important attribute a coach must possess to truly succeed and make a lasting impact?
Boy, that's a big question. But I would say, you know, true commitment to walking out the process yourself, right? You don't have to have achieved and experienced everything your ideal client has or wants to, but you have to commit to the process yourself. You have to commit to continuing growing. You have to commit to continuing to experiment. You have to commit to continuing to like build your business, right? You don't have to do the exact same things, but you have to continue to live out a journey that people can learn from.
And now the man you've been waiting for, John, the sales machine, Rankin!
Ladies and gentlemen, today's guest is a certified elite coach since 2002 and has worked with hundreds of leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs. He is one of the most sought-after success coaches today, best known as the coach's coach. He was asked to sit on the Franklin Covey Company's Innovation Advisory Board for professional coaching. Brendan Bouchard describes him as the person everyone comes to learn how to build a successful coaching and consulting business. His passion is to help others build profitable businesses, but to also make the impact that they want to make. His powerful training on leadership, goal attainment, innovation, and branding has influenced organizations like NASA, Merck, Abbott Laboratories, Disney, and the Principal Financial Group Incorporated. Please welcome founder of the Think, Dream, Do podcast and Matthews Training International, Mitch Matthews.
Thank you so much, John. It is awesome to be here, my friend.
It's awesome to have you here because, you know, this is the sales machine and we're all about helping ordinary businesses become extraordinary with different psychology, methodology, even technology, especially getting into AI. What I know is if you really want to be successful, it starts right here, right? It starts from yourself. You help individuals and organizations and sustain success. So I want to talk about how you obviously you were very successful pharmaceuticals at Merck, and then you decided, you know what, I want to help others. This is, you know, not my calling, selling drugs, you know, and I can relate to that, but you know, we're going to call it pharmaceuticals. Sales.
Yeah. This is a little slightly different career track, but yes, absolutely. Very lucrative. Both very lucrative.
Tell me about the transition. Yeah. Because as a med rep, you can get paid very well and you were a sales leader and that's what I do. Tell me about how you transitioned and decided, you know what, I'm going to get into the public speaking arena and start helping individuals. And then how did that transition into organizations?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, I can tell you, I had a great run in the pharmaceutical world. But you know, I got promoted into what I call a bad fit job, which was brutal. And that was a true wake up call to me to say, I'm not meant to be in this industry the rest of my days. And so I started to look to other things. And I got to say, while I was driving, like each day driving to that bad fit job, it felt a little bit of my soul was dying. And I started to look around. I thought maybe a change in the industry or a change in the company or, you know, to do some different things. And on one particular day, I'll never forget, I came home and my wife knew it had been a bad day. And she had a magazine setting out. Business magazine sitting out. And she's like, I want to show you this article. And she showed me the article and she said, this is what you do. This is what you do. And she knew my background. She knew I'd been teaching people to sell, you know, since I was 13 and selling since I was 13, but teaching people to sell. And I loved doing it. I loved encouraging people, helping people. So when I looked at this article, it was about an entrepreneur and it didn't make any sense to me. I'm like, this entrepreneur had a bunch of success in an industry I had no interest in. And she's like, no, not the main article. She's like, look at the sidebar article. And the sidebar article was about this entrepreneur's coach. And basically, this entrepreneur said they couldn't have had the success without their coach walking alongside them. And what was interesting was, is the more I read about this coach, the more I started to understand what this coach did. But also, this coach was very open that they had no experience in this particular entrepreneur's industry. They just realized they were really good at asking questions, drawing out solutions, drawing out ownership, and bringing accountability, much needed accountability. And that helped this entrepreneur to succeed. And my wife just said, that's what you do. That's what you do with our friends. That's what you do with family. That's what you've done in every company you've ever been in, is you're always encouraging people and be in the safe place that everybody wants to come to you and seek advice or vent or vet. And she's like, what if you did that as your job? What if we did that? And so that set me down this kind of trajectory of investigating the coaching world, how it works. And I'll be the first to admit that I invested in a very expensive coach training program that did help me to be a more confident, competent coach, but it had no business training at all. So I had to figure all that out by myself, but I just started to build this thing on the side, and I wasn't very good at it, to be honest. Like, when I first started, I was good at the coaching component, but I wasn't good at the business building component, especially, kind of promoting myself as a coach and promoting myself as a speaker. But things started to click. I started to figure out what we call the six-figure sequence. And I started to just kind of do certain things, systems. I know you're a big believer in systems. I just started to do those systems over and over. And in a pretty short time, I was able to replace my income as a pharmaceutical rep. I was able to go full-time as a coach and a speaker. And I'm kind of amazed. I can say I'm wildly blessed to now, say I've had months where I've made as much or more than I used to make in a year in the pharmaceutical world, doing my own thing, and most importantly, doing something I truly feel like I was put on the planet to do. And that is to encourage people to be at their best, to draw out their best solutions and help them go to new levels. So, it's an amazing journey, but it's just kind of one of those where you have to keep taking those small but significant steps and just stay curious to help you figure out what that next step is.
Awesome. So how'd you get your first client?
It's a great question. Interestingly enough, we always talk about there's three rings of connection when it comes to, building a coaching business, a consulting business, a speaking business, and there's three rings to it. The inner ring is what we call the inner circle. Those are your friends, your family that have known you for a long time. Generally, they're not going to be the people that are going to hire you as a coach, because they've been getting the milk for free for a long time. Like, why would they pay you thousands of dollars to, have a conversation in their minds that's very similar to what they've always gotten for free? But those people oftentimes know people, right? So the second ring is what we call your network. Those are people that have known you, have interacted with you, maybe been, they've worked with you, but also maybe they've served with you as a volunteer or, been on a board with you, those kinds of things. Your second ring are more likely to hire you. But again, they've probably gotten a little bit of the taste of the goods for free. So they're not as likely to invest in high ticket, offerings with you as a coach, a speaker, a consultant. But that third ring, represents your biggest opportunity, because those are the people that come into contact with you and they only know you as a coach. They only know you as a consultant. They only know you as a teacher, a speaker, those kinds of things. But the way you get to that third ring is through the first and second rings. So my first official coaching client came through a friend that was in my inner circle. And my inner circle, this was a friend in college. He'd seen me make great decisions. He'd seen me make really poor decisions, all of those things. And he was not going to pay me thousands of dollars to work with me. But when he started to hear about what I was doing and who I worked with and who I wanted to work with, and I'd put out some things that were of value, blog posts, some teachings, what we call value-based promotion, where it brings value. It's things like this podcast, things like that you're doing, where you're bringing value to your people, all that kind of thing. He came across something that I had written to entrepreneurs on, three ways to be more effective by Friday. He saw that, shared it with his brother-in-law and said, hey, brother, I know you've been running around with your head cut off. He was a new entrepreneur. He said, hey, I think this guy could help you out. Made that connection. That person had never seen me, did not know the good and bad decisions that I've made. But when he first came in contact with me, he only saw me as a coach. And boom, once he saw what that was, saw that he needed it, we were able to connect. And there goes my first client.
What did you do to actually scale from there? Because, you know, in that industry, it's very prominent that people just become dancing monkeys or dancing bears because they're the whole show. They're the whole show. And you can only do so much when it's you're the whole show. I know that you have to make it one on many, and I've ran seminars and they're just leaders meetings to me because I've done it for 30 years. So like literally cultivating, training, and giving systems to my people every single quarter, or even being in a sales office for my first 7 years, we call it prime time, right? Prime time morning, prime time eating, evening. I'm running meetings all the time. And so, you know, for me, transitioning to a stage was no big deal.
Right. As a natural offshoot of what you've been doing for years, right? Yeah.
It's just what I do every day.
So, I mean, that is it's a great question, because one of the ways, obviously, you know, that someone, and what's beautiful about this is that, you know, we've been able to build a successful, sustainable coaching business. People did start to take notice of that. They started to demand, like, how are you doing it? Why is this working? And so we started to do little boutique trainings to be able to help other coaches, especially on the business side, those kinds of things. That expanded. We started to take that online, and we've been able to help thousands of coaches around the world. So one of the ways that you do that is you grow your practice, you grow your reach, and you start to increase, of course, you start to increase your prices, you know, those kinds of things. A big part of it is organizing your time, knowing who you're selling to, all those kinds of things. And then obviously one of the things that you can start to do is start to scale by then delivering online offerings, those kinds of things. So a lot of, I know for me, I've been able to drive, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars by offering online training that then you can couple with your coaching, that you can couple with your speaking. So that's one big thing. We've also held events and then been able to drive hundreds of thousands, sometimes seven figures with sponsorship deals, those kinds of things. So, you know, part of it is figure out who your people are. And if it makes sense to get them in the same room, do that. And then start to ask yourself, who else wants these people to be in the same room? You know, and then you can start to work things like partnerships, you know, especially if you've got somebody that has a complimentary offering or a complimentary service. And that can be a really scalable and a lot of fun to be able to blow something like that out.
Right on. So you've moved from one-on-one to one-on-many, and you established partnerships, so affiliate programs. And then you went beyond that, even into the sponsorship programs. Now you're no longer just one-on-one, you're one-on-many.
And then you start to get into their tracks as well. So, you know, we had one partnership with a large insurance organization. So what was beautiful is we would go and do these events. They were our events. We called them Big Dream Gatherings. And, you know, I got to take my camera crew with me. We recorded it. We would go and feature people that were walking out dreams in the area of these events. But then that started to become something that then the organization, this large insurance organization, would also use to promote. So, I mean, it was great for them because their name was on the event, but it was also great for us because they had, you know, reach to thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people that we didn't have access to originally. So truly, you know, the sponsorships can be a great win-win opportunity.
Yeah. And I love it. It's still a sustainable, scalable system to scale a business. And for all the listeners out there, it's the same psychology and methodology when you think about structure, systems, and strategy that will allow you to scale. You've got to have a structure, you've got to have a system, and you got to be strategic. So I like how you connected the dots to expand your offering, because if it's just a one-on-one, not a one-on-many, then you're limiting your financial capabilities and your income. So I love how you did that. Let's talk about how did you do it and bring it into the different corporations that you're working with.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the beauty of being a coach and a speaker. And as you know, I mean, you've lived this as an entrepreneur and now speaker and podcaster, content creator, all of those things, right? But I always say that most, not all, most coaches should also be speakers, and most speakers, not all, but most speakers should also be coaches, because what's beautiful about coaching is it allows you to go, as you said, one-on-one, and it allows you to go deep with an individual or a small group of individuals. And that is powerful. That's powerful for them, and it's powerful for you. But then as a speaker, you can speak to 30, 300, 3,000, you know, and more, right? And you don't get to go as deep, but you get to go wide and have a massive amount of impact. What I love about speaking, and my goal with speaking oftentimes, is to introduce a new vernacular, right? Introduce some new language that everybody can start using, that helps everybody get on the same page, whether it's getting clear on what we're actually doing or how we're going to deliver that. So I love giving kind of that common language, that new vernacular. And so that's beautiful. You get to plant those seeds when you're speaking, but then when you get to coach, then you get to go deeper with that and see the seeds grow, help those seeds grow, cultivate a harvest, right? So I always say, you know, it's the coaching can help to supplement the speaking can help supplement the coaching. So not all speakers should be coaches. Not all coaches should be speakers, but most should be. And what's beautiful is as you're coaching, you're also coming up with all sorts of examples that you can offer from the stage, right? Of successes, setbacks, all of those things. You can now offer illustrations, never, of course, violating any confidentiality, but it still gives you these rich stories and case examples that then you can point to. But as you do that, a whole audience is also being reminded that you do work with people one-on-one. And I will even include that information in a speaking proposal. I'll say, hey, you didn't ask about this, but I do offer a la carte coaching. We have packages for groups. We have packages for individuals. So, you know, we're talking about this event, but if you ever want, you know, to go deeper or have a group of people or some individuals go deeper on anything we're talking about, we offer coaching. We also offer online training that will allow people to go and take this content and dig even deeper for 10 weeks or 6 months, those kinds of things, which allows, you know, a keynote to go from a five-figure to a six-figure opportunity and also not take you a lot more time to be able to deliver that.
I love the business model of scale, especially with structure, systems, and strategy. Like even I run my organization at, you know, it's all about SSS. And if you disconnect from that, you know, things become chaos, especially without systems. But in an era when now that we have the greatest freedom of all time, the greatest freedom in the history of the world, where literally anybody can legit build a brand, you know, even falsify followers and stuff like that. And there can, in an era where anybody can just say that they're a coach in the industry where it's becoming very saturated, what would be your advice to whether it's an individual or corporations to actually use to vest a legit coach?
It is an interesting time. Because to your point, you know, you can buy followers, right? Pick your platform. You can buy followers. You can even buy a little bit of engagement, you know, those kinds of things. So it's an interesting time from the standpoint of going, okay, don't let follower numbers be your only marker for whether you can trust someone. You know, it's funny. I was talking with someone, actually kind of an executive with a large organization that trains coaches. And they certify coaches, especially on the kind of training of the coaching side. And she was talking with me about, you know, we had a group of coaches in and they were all lamenting on how the industry was saturated. And she looked at me and we were on a Zoom call and she looked at me. She's like, you know what I'm talking about? And I said, frankly, I know I'm aware of this problem, but I don't experience this problem. And the people that we teach don't experience this problem. And she's like, really? And I said, yeah, one, we're not focused on that. We're focused on who do we want to bring value to? Who is that person that we want to serve? And then our focus is to bring value to that person, right? To grow a relationship with that person. Not like, I don't know about you, but I'm not actually worried about my follower count at all. What I am looking at is engagement, right? And like real engagement. And then also, how do people then interact with us, you know, as they start to move through our client relationship, you know, funnel. And it's like, to me, like what we want to be able to do is build trust, build relationship. And so if somebody is trying to vet a coach, I always say, how are they bringing value? Is it through their social media? Is it through a weekly email? Like, find those things out. Look at those things. Like, you look at your social media as an example. There is no doubt you are committed to helping organizations get better, to truly scale, especially their sales operations. Like, you are living the example of bringing value. Like, you're not just promoting yourself as, you know, from an ego standpoint, like we talk about as ego-driven promotion. I don't know about you, but that kind of drives me crazy. The, oh, this is what I had for breakfast. This is who I met with this week. Da-da-da, right? That's ego-driven. And if you want to do a little bit of that to build relationships, so be it. But I say, what are you doing to deliver value? And what parts of that are you delivering for free? So people can truly get a taste of what it is you do and taste and see that it's good, right? And to do that on a consistent basis. So if you're looking at hiring a coach, if you're looking at hiring a speaker, take a dive and say, okay, are they putting up a post a month, a post every 6 months, which you do see that happen. It's like that, well, that person's not committed to bringing excellence wherever they are. And now I'm not saying they need to be a Kardashian or a Huffington Post and, you know, post five times a day, but you want to take a look and say, hey, how are they bringing value? And if you are considering them as your coach or their speaker, like as you consume their content, do you feel like they're talking to you, right? Jay Abraham said brilliantly, and you've probably heard this quote, that if you can describe someone's problem better than they can, if you can put their problem into words better than they can, then they also assume you have their solution, right? So if you're talking about a problem at the level that somebody's like, oh my gosh, you know, John must have a camera in our house. How did he know we were just wrestling with this? Or, you know, he must have a camera set up in our office because we were just wrestling with this. And now, boom, hear this post, hear this interview is talking about that exact thing. That's the kind of thing to look for. Because again, if you're bringing value consistently, if you feel connected with that content as you see it, as you consume it, then that person's probably your person. If not, then move on. Do not trust credentials and do not trust followers. That's what I always say.
You know, at the end of the day, you're either the real deal or you're not, and people can smell it.
You would think so. Like I do, somebody must still be snowed by fake followers though, right? Like, and somebody still must be snowed by fake credentials. It must work somewhere. At least a lot of people are buying it, but I'm with you. Like you would think rational grown ass adults would be able to see, like smell through that, you know? So
yeah, it's called commission breath, right? Like you can just smell it, right? You can smell it when they walk by or if they're trying to bullshit you. I spent a lot of time with Robert Kiyosaki, and he wrote the book Fake, right? And even in my own journey, I come to realize whether I'm hiring an internal team member, a lot of companies call them employees. I don't. I call them team members or team leaders. But I've come to experience there's a lot of false prophets out there. I'll get back to it, but I wanted to just make this point because the other day, I had an opportunity. Literally, I've coached CEOs and did masterminds and within my organization. And then I was asked to do it outside my organization and I did it. And literally with small groups of people generated hundreds of thousands of dollars of income in a weekend. I enjoyed it for a while. And then I became a dad. And then I'm like, thank you. My boy just got his blue belt and he's 6 years old. He's a focused little guy and he's, you know, amazing. But I just had a thought the other day because I have different opportunities and
people do approach me to work with them. And I just had a thought the other day, and it was like, you know, to sell or not to sell? That's the question. Do I really want to sell to this guy? At the end of the day, you've got to have space, and you don't want to be put in what I call the friend zone, where people don't take the coaching seriously. Number one, they no longer respect your time as far as being an expert and a professional. And then they're like, well, can we just do a quick call? Yeah, and you're picking my pocket too. When you pick my brain, you're picking my pocket. You're like a pickpocket. You want to steal the information. And look, I'm all about helping others, but at the same time, you need to value my time. So you understand the value proposition. It's really, there's givers and takers in the world, and that's just reality. And I'm a giver. What book is that? Hold on. You dropped a nugget.
Adam Grant. It's a book called Givers and Takers. And he actually dove into the science and the research behind what it is to be a giver and what it is to be a taker. And it's fascinating because a lot of what you would think would be true is not, but I think exactly what we're talking about is. And one of the things, as an example, this is a big reason why, you know, we encourage the people that go through our coach training program, you know, we encourage them to set up coaching packages. And you know, most of our folks start at coaching packages that, you know, are at least $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $25,000. And sometimes people are like, oh my gosh, you know, how do I do that? Can't I do that? And I said that the fee is as much for your client as it is for you. I always say, like, I want my coaching client to have the biggest, goofiest grin on when they're, you know, paying that invoice. And people will ask, like, why? It's like, well, they will know they are 100% in. Like, I don't do the can I pick your brain calls anymore, because what I've found is most people do not take any action on information they got by having no investment.
They just want to pick your brain.
Yep. Yep. And then generally take no action. Yep. That's exactly right.
I like no skin in the game. They want to pick your brain until you're insane and they're just pickpockets. So to sell or not to sell, sometimes the fact is I don't want to sell.
Very true. That's the thing people say all the time, like, wait, can I be a coach? And it's like, well, don't try to be a coach to everyone. Figure out who you want to work with. And then coach them, but don't try to coach the world.
As the coach's coach, what do you believe is the single most important attribute a coach must possess to truly succeed and make a lasting impact?
Boy, that's a big question. And just quick, I've got to go kind of at the top of the hour here because I've got another call here in about 2 minutes. But I would say, you know, what is one of the most important things? I would say a true commitment to walking out the process yourself, right? You don't have to have achieved and experienced everything your ideal client has or wants to, but you have to commit to the process yourself. You have to commit to continuing growing. You have to commit to continuing to experiment. You have to commit to continuing to, like, build your business, right? You don't have to do the exact same things, but you have to continue to live out a journey that people can learn from. And I see some people, they start to get dormant. You know, they start making a lot of money as a coach, and then they start to get soft. They stop growing. I say, hey, you've got to commit to continue to grow, to continue to build, to continue to do the very things you are asking your clients to do. And if you continue to do that, they will see it. And they will trust you and they will follow you where you go. But if you stop, and a lot of people are tempted to do so, right? People will also smell that. No matter what's happening on your social, people will pick up on it. And that makes all the difference in the world.
100% agree. You know, success, comfort is the enemy of success. And, you know, the dichotomy is everybody wants to be successful so they can be comfortable. And that becomes kryptonite. Thank you, Mitch Matthews. Where can people find you? How do they work with you?
Absolutely. I love it. Two things. One, then go to MitchMatthews.com. That's kind of where it all starts. There's some gifts there, free resources there to check it out. If you've got somebody that's been thinking about being a coach, we actually put together an assessment. You'll appreciate this. And it actually convinces probably as many people to not be coaches as it does convince people to be coaches. Then go to MitchMatthews.com/CPSA. And that is our coaching predictability of success assessment. And it's an assessment based on our helping thousands of coaches. We figured out there are certain things that make the potential for success much higher. And we allow people to take this assessment. And it does convince some people, hey, go do other things. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Just doesn't mean coaching is for you. But for somebody that scores high on that, then we've got free resources for them to check out as well to help them on that journey. Whether they choose to work with us or not, we want to see people getting encouraged. We want to see people having their dreams launched. And we want to see people getting the help that they need. So if it's through us, great. But if it's not, we're making the world a better place. And that's what we want to see. So, John, thanks so much for being on the show. I love what you're doing. I respect it, man. And this show is going to impact millions of people, I know.
Thank you, Mitch. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to send a review about what you liked on this podcast or share it with somebody who would need it to definitely improve their business, building and scaling sales teams, do me a favor, like, share. It means a lot to me so that we can help others grow and live in abundance.
That's a wrap, folks. Thanks for joining me today. And if you got value from this episode, do me a favor, like, subscribe, and refer a friend. And if you want even more value, go to thesalesmachine.com, click on resources, and there's tons of resources there to increase profits and drive performance in your business. Right on, right on, come on.